I wanted to sing that song. It says, I know he cares for me. His way is best. I prove by test, and I know he cares for me. And God wants us to take him at his word, you know? He wants us to prove him. It's not like blind faith like people say, you know? But he wants us to prove him. And he really does care for us. If nobody else does, God does. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. In this crazy world and all the crazy things that go on, I'm so thankful to know that God cares for me. In verse 7 it says, casting all your care upon him, for he, God, careth for you. God tells us to cast all our care. And that word cast is the word hurl. You know, you just hurl it. You cast it as far as you can. One time when we were down the shore, we were standing at the ocean. We were having a fellowship, and my brother Joe was leading the fellowship, and he had us all get a shell. And he said, now, I want you to look at that shell, and I want you to think of it, have it represent every care, every concern, every worry, anything that's weighing you down, that's heavy on your heart. Get that shell, and you hurl it, and you cast it as far into the ocean as you can. And he said, so when you throw it, are you ever going to find it again? No. No. And that's how we have to be with God, with our cares. See, because we weren't meant to carry burdens and weights. We just weren't. We have God, who's the burden bearer. And Jesus Christ said, you know, your burden's heavy, but my yoke's light. See, because I went on lead. It's this wilderness mountain climbing experience to build an I can do attitude. Well, can you believe that I went to the White Mountains and went mountain climbing? I mean, it was crazy. But anyway, I had this huge backpack, and I don't remember if they gave me, but there was this big wire thing, and they strapped it around me, and then I got my my sleeping bag and rolled it up and put it on top of that, and I looked like it was taller than me. And then everybody comes along and says, well, you know, you got to take this for the camp. You got to take who's going to take food, who's going to take utensils, whatever. And they pile another thing on top of my backpack. Well, within 2 minutes, I went plop. I fell right against a tree. It was so heavy. It was so heavy. The weight of it was so heavy. I couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear it. I just went plop. They had to take that off because I just couldn't do it. It was too heavy. See, and there are the weights that we carry. God doesn't want us to bear. He doesn't want us to have all these things that consume us, you know, where we can't walk. I couldn't walk. I couldn't move. And God wants us to be able to walk with him with a light heart. But when you're so burdened down and so weighed down with anxiety or care or sickness or whatever, we can't walk for God. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6 it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing, anxious, have anxiety to the point where you're fearful. You know, because we all have anxiety. We all have things. We live in the world. The devil's the god of this world, and things are going to affect us. But when you let it fester and you let it harbor in your heart long enough, where you have fear, that's when you got to really realize, what am I doing here? What am I doing? I can't, we weren't designed to hold these things. And that's why, you know, you go to bed at night and you can't sleep. You're tossing and turning, and because you just haven't given those cares to God. You know, because it says that when we do give it to God, we have a peace that passes all understanding. like, how could you be so peaceful in the midst of a storm? But okay, so go back to 1 Peter. We're going to look at the verse before casting our cares. Chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Before we cast our cares, we have to humble ourselves before God. He's the strong one. He's the mighty one. He's got the power. You know, I don't know. There's so many things in life I don't understand. I don't know what to do with in my brain. You know, I've lost people that I love. My brother was so young when he passed. You know, there's things that we don't understand, you know, but I trust God. I trust him. And I know that if I'm humble before him, he'll take care of me. I don't know. We don't need to know. But we do need to trust the one who does know. And God is so strong and mighty. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40. We got a strong God. I loved, you know, manifestations. Janet said, I will continuously care for you. I thought that was so cool that even in manifestations, I will continuously care for you, God said. Isaiah 40, verse 18, it says, to whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold and cast his silver chains. Verse 21, have ye not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Who's like God? Who's as strong, who's as mighty, who's as powerful as God? Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number, he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. He is strong, he is powerful. He is able to take any care, any worry, any concern that we have. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, when we're weak, when we're faint, you know, that's when we go to him. It's like, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know what to do about that. But you know, whether your need is great or it's small, it's the same thing to God. I think it was Elijah with the axe. There was
Elisha.
They were building something, and one of the workers, you know, had an axe, and he went to use it, and the axe head fell off and flew into the water. And he said to Elisha,
you know, that was borrowed. That wasn't mine. And Elisha said, okay, where'd you throw it? And so he goes over and it gets a stick. Now, an axe head is pretty heavy, right? You know, it's metal. And he just lifted, got a stick. God told him, just lift it up. And it plop, came up on the... Now, what difference does it make? You know, a stupid axe head. But it meant something to this guy. So Elisha went to God about it. Well, there's something huge or something little. If we get in the habit of trusting him, then when the big things come, it's like, okay, I know you got this, God. We have a Father who's concerned about our lives. But the key is not to faint in your minds. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. If you're going to build something up, if you're going to boast about something, be excited about something, we're not that smart. But if we're going to boast about something, that he, God, understandeth and knoweth me. I love that because he gets me. You know, if nobody else gets me, and, you know, Sid has a hard time. So sometimes, you know, we don't always get each other. And it's like kids, like when they're grown up, you don't understand me. You just don't understand. You know, kids say that all the time. But you know what? God gets us. He knows what makes us tick. And he knows what it's going to take for you to get delivered of whatever it is that you need deliverance from. He knows. And it's so cool because I don't know why. It's like so tickles me that he cares about me. Like, who am I? You know, who am I? I'm his child. And because I'm his child, he has such care and concern for me and what I need.
Okay, did I finish? Yeah, okay. Oh, no, I didn't finish. That I am the Lord of Kings, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, and that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That loving kindness, that mercy, he just loves it. It makes him happy. He makes him happy when he sees us have a need and go to him with our hearts. Be humble before him, say, God, take care of this. And he's like, okay, cool. You came to me. You didn't try to figure it out yourself. Cool. Okay, let's look at Psalm 13. Verse 5, it says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You know, so cool. Jeremiah 29. Verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And that's what God wants. You know, it's the thing that God always wanted. Somebody said it in Manifestations, is God wanted a family. You know, he wanted children to love him, to care for, we as parents, we care for our kids. We want to take care of those things that we meet their needs, you know, their physical needs, but we always want to take care of their hearts and make things right. Don't we want to do that? And we can't. It's like frustrating sometimes as a parent, because you just so want them to be so happy and blessed in their life. And there's just some things they got to figure out, and you can't do it. And it's kind of frustrating. But see, with God, he's God. He can take care of those things. And so when we get in that spot, what do we do with those things? We give it to God. And you learn that pretty quick as a parent. Let's look at 1 Kings 17. We're going to look at Elijah. Such a cool guy. I just love him. There's a book that I read once called Elijah the Tishbite. I haven't read it in years. You read about his life. What a cool guy he was. In verse 1 it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, sent unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fish in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Okay, so first of all, he has to go before the king and tell him, no rain for 3 years. You think he might have been a little nervous approaching the king with that information? You think he had a little anxiety? See, because these guys were human. They had feelings. You know, he had to go tell them, you know, no rain for 3 years. And then, you know, God says, so then he's like, what about me? What's going to happen to me then? And God tells him, Joe, just go down to the brook and, you know, there'll be water there, and there's going to be these ravens are going to come feed him and bring. Okay, so my kids, I had a Bible storybook for my kids when they were little, and there was a picture of Elijah at the brook, and, you know, the ravens are dropping food, and the kids would just be, I remember Stevie's eyes would be big as saucers, like, wow, Mom. And then I remember one of them saying to me, ew, but it drops food out of their mouth. Ew, gross, like flesh. And I said, you know what? If it's from God, you know it's good. Because Stevie said, he goes, do you think it made him like sick? And I said, I don't think so. I don't think that was something that's going to make him sick. Because anything that you get from God is always good, right? So it had to be pleasing to him. And what, like, who would think of that? You know, the ravens bringing him. Would Elijah ever think, you think he thought, man, what am I going to eat? I'm sure as he's going to this brook, he's thinking, okay, you're going to give me water. What am I going to eat? And then when the ravens, these birds start dropping food, he's like, what? God, wow, you're crazy. You know, it's so cool, but he met that need. So cool. And then he goes and he, you know, the record, he goes to God sends him to the next spot, to the woman, you know, and she's got the cruse of oil and the little cake, and God extends that where they have enough that all they need. And okay, that wasn't so hard, right? God's giving them food. But then look what happens. Verse 17, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, felt sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He died. So this woman who took care of Elijah, her son dies. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" Wow, you think that was a little mental pressure for him? You think he had some anxiety? Wow, she's putting this on him. Whoa, here I helped you. Look, and now my son dies. And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." Now, this isn't a perfect guy with a perfect mind. So he had to really control his mind, right? He had to really go to God with this. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying your son? No, God, you didn't do that. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. You know, that was a pretty big deal. Okay, the food, okay. God, all right. But he had a right, this kid was dead, and what did he do? He went to God, and the child opened his eyes. How cool is that? Okay, so then you go in chapter 18, and look what happens to the guy again. He has another situation. And this is, you know, where he comes up before 400 prophets. Here he is. He's one man. He's up against 400 guys. And they're saying, you know what? Our God's great. You know what? He's going to take care of us. He's going to, and, you know, so here they're doing all this crap, you know, praying to their God. And he goes, what? Is your God asleep? How come he's not answering you? And then he goes to God, one man. And God, you know the record about the, you know, puts the wood and the, you know, the water and the fire comes down and consumes the, you know, it's just like God just, how he ever decides to do something, you know, how did he know how God was going to fix it? All he knew that God would, because he trusted him with his heart. Because he knew God cared for him. He cared no matter what situation he was in, whether it was going to the king, whether it was food, water, raising somebody from the dead. And here he is, and he's against all these. And these people were screaming and yelling, and this one man standing there. You think he was intimidated at all? See, we read the record like, oh, yeah, and then, you know, God consumed the... What? This has really happened. This really happened to a real person, you know, and that's the thing. So don't read it and think, oh, well, yeah, but that was like a holy prophet, you know. God is no different now than he was then, see. But he knew that God would take care of him. And then if you go to chapter 19, verse 4, he gets a little weary. Verse 4, it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. He just felt like he was the end. You know, all these things, thing after thing after thing. He said, you know what? It's enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. You know, whatever it takes. He was just so weary in his mind. He started to faint in his mind. And so what did God do? He sent an angel. He sent an angel to minister to him. He gave him physical food and spiritual food. He gave him what he needed. He took care of him in every way. We're sons of God. He's not going to forsake us in our time of need ever, ever. And he says, prove me. His way is best. I prove by test. You know, I want to prove him. I want to, because where's our battle? Our battle's in the mind. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't have to fight battles. We won't read it, but Jehoshaphat, you know, it's what a great record that is. You know, where, you know, he goes, you know, all these armies are coming against him, and he goes to God and he says, God, you know, what do I do? You know, we're not as great as these armies. We're going to get creamed. And so God tells him, get these guys lined up and have them sing. What a silly thing. You think you're going to sing All these armies are coming at you, and you're going to start singing. You know, and they start singing, and the armies killed each other. They turn on. Who thinks of these things? God. See? It didn't matter what God told them to do. Does it matter? And see, our way is not best. And that's the thing, because sometimes we try so hard. You know, we lay at night. I do. Sometimes I'm like, okay, how's this going to? My sister, it's a silly analogy, but my sister and I were talking about going to the shore, and she said, oh, you know, I hope I saved enough money for the shore. And I said, yeah, me too. I said, we got a lot of things going on. And then I stopped and I started laughing. She goes, what's so funny? I said, have we ever gone to the shore and not had everything we needed? We always have everything we need if we just get past that brain of ours and prove him and let him take care of us. I wanted to read you, well, let's go to Psalm 44. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Version. That's my brother Joe used to say, the Amplified Version. You ever heard any of my brother's CDs? You know what I'm talking about. And he had to say it every time. The Amplified Version. Okay. Psalm 44, verse 1, it says, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in the, which work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. How that thou didst, oh, with this didst, drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, and how didst afflict the people. That's why I'm going to read the Amplified Version. For they got the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but the right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Now, we'll read the Amplified, which is so clear. It says, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work you did in their days, in the days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, and it was your power that gave Israel a home by rooting out the heathen peoples. But Israel you spread out. For they got not the land of Canaan in their possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance did it, because you were favorable toward and did delight in them. Isn't that beautiful? See, it's not our hand that's going to save us. It's God's. You know, he's strong. He's the mighty one. He's the powerful one, not us. But we need to rely on his strength. See, so whatever we carry, you know, that burden that holds us from walking, because I can't do anything for God. I couldn't walk with that backpack no matter how hard I tried. They would have put it back up on me. I would have fallen over again, because I can't. God didn't design us to carry weights like that. And we're going to read a little bit of Psalm 18, which is one of my absolute favorite psalms in the world. We won't read the whole thing. I was going to, but I think we won't. In verse 1, it says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Everybody there? The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. That's how, this is our God. You know, it's so cool. We're not going to read the rest of it, but in verse 16 it says, He sent from above, He took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also in a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. And in verse 28, it says, For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all that trust Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. And that's our God who will fight our battles for us. You know, Jehoshaphat said, God said to him, Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord for you. For the battle is not yours, but God's. See, that it's our, these battles, these things, and the battles for us are in our minds. You know, it says, you know, let's not be weary in well-doing, because if we don't faint, we're going to reap. You know, so let's cast every care, every concern, anything to God. You know, because it's so cool, because He gets you. He gets me. He gets what makes you tick, and He knows what it's going to take and how to talk to us. You know, how He talked to Elisha and Elijah, how He talked to Jehoshaphat is different than how He's going to talk to you and me, because He's a personal God and He knows what you need to hear so that you can understand and trust. So, okay, amen.